Damn.
Yeah, Chuck?
I got the word.
What word?
From the dictionary. This is the end. No more Hector Q. Peabody show on the station.
No more? Why not?
Our contract has been canceled, Dan.
Oh, that's bad.
You know why, don't you?
I'll bet I can guess.
Guess.
Hector's never been here.
That's right. Now, we've been going... This is the 13th week. This ends our series here. And Hector Q. Peabody hasn't shown up at all. Not for one of the programs.
Dirty guy. I'd like to get even with him.
Why don't we do something? This is the last show. What can they do? They can't fire us or anything.
We'll be leaving anyway.
Sure. Why don't we, just let everything break loose, you know? Let's just go...
I got an idea. Yeah? Let's drag the show out for an hour. Let's run somebody off the air.
You want to drag in it?
Sure.
Dum-da-dum-dum.
That would be fun.
Would you? Who's on after us? I don't know.
Oh,
Joe, who's on after
some
us?
Character.
Nothing, huh? Half
there
hour
won't
dead
be
air?
Anyway.
All right, why don't we run straight through for an hour today?
All right, should we use a theme or forget about it?
I think we lost up the engineer if we forgot about it.
Yeah, he's got it all queued up.
He likes that theme anyway. It was recorded by his mother when she was singing in the bathtub one time.
Oh, I see.
It's sweet.
All right, let's
play the
play
theme.
It.
Go ahead, you cotton. Hi there, this is Chuck Shaden.
And Dan McGuire.
We're going to be here for an hour today. We
Doggone
just decided.
Right.
We flipped the engineer and he said it's all right to go with this.
Yeah, we may even stretch it out for 24 hours.
You want it? Why don't we do a 24 hour
show? Why don't we? You take a nap and I'll go on and.
Oh, no, I don't want you on alone.
Oh.
You can't handle things like that. Boy, you're not experienced.
You're chicken.
Just because you're getting a dollar a dozen for the eggs doesn't mean that you have to call me that. You're crying out loud. This is the Hector Q. Peabody show. Hector Q. Peabody isn't here. I don't know, maybe he'll come. That's an absurd.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Don't even think of it.
Why don't we just forget it? Why don't we play a record here?
No, I don't want to.
We're going to play a record now.
I'm not going to play no record. This is no time to be playing records. We're going to do something special today.
Play a needle, Joe. Go ahead. Thank you.
you play a copy of the melody,
then it chopped me,
won't you play a simple melody?
All of my applause,
oh, play a simple, and then simple,
I want to listen to Ragbub, Bubba, Doop-a-doop-a-doop, and 23 skidoo, and
oh, you
boy, are we having fun.
As the doctor said, I love my wife, but oh, you kidney. I don't know what to do here.
I don't either, but...
What's that?
Telephone.
The telephone?
Yeah. Oh, that sound effects man is going berserk in there.
Donna Meach, you better answer it.
Should I answer it or should
somebody
you?
Should, I guess.
Well, let's flip a coin for it.
All right, that's good.
I'll take heads.
Tails.
Flip it. What is it?
Land on the edge.
Flip it again.
Wait a minute, why don't we flip the telephone?
All right.
Pick it up. Hello? What? Oh, well, certainly. Well, certainly, Hector. Of course, you can talk to Dan. Sure, here.
Oh, Hector? It's Hector. Yeah, Hector? Oh, I see. Well, Hector, that's great. That's terrific. All right, we'll be waiting for you. Yeah, okay, Hector, so long. Guess what?
What?
Hector's on his way over.
He is.
Yeah, he just left the house. He said he's determined he's going to be here
today.
He's
not going to get here today.
He will. He
it'll
will.
It'll snow, it'll rain, it'll sleet, it'll
no,
do
no, he'll be here. He told me he would. He's taking the car and everything.
Does he have a car?
Certainly he's got a car. He's got a 1929 Maxwell.
Oh, yeah, the one with the Jack Benny on the roof. Huh?
I know.
That's
with
good.
The fox tail on.
Oh, fine. Gee, that's great. I don't think he'll get here, though. But if you want to, well, you know, go ahead.
Certainly. I'm going to read a commercial here. I feel
okay.
So good.
Sure, go ahead. Read the commercial.
Friends, here's a tremendous offer which you can't afford to pass by. For a limited time only, Bigelow's Department Store has, through a lucky purchase of supply of plaid diapers.
Plaid diapers.
Chuck, please, I want to read this commercial straight. Don't break me up.
I don't want to break you up. Just read the commercial.
Well, don't talk over there.
Well, my mic is closed anyway. I'm not talking.
All right, but you make me nervous. Yes, Bigelow's has something like 1,400 plaid diapers for you, the new mother. So if you have a hard time...
Stop that, please. You're making me break up.
Well, don't listen to me.
I'm all nervous. I'm trying not to, but after all, Bigelow's pays a lot of money for these commercials.
You think you're nervous? I'm real crazy.
All right.
Cool.
So if you have a hard time seeing your pink little baby in his present pink diapers on his pink little bed, you won't want to be without a pair or 10 of these revolutionary new plaid diapers.
Like 930.
Bigelow's has them for the low, low, laughable price of only $44.23. That's $12.93. Now, for our radio listeners and our TV listeners only...
I haven't even got a camera.
Chuck,
what's the matter,
you're
Dan?
You're making me nervous.
I'll leave the room if you want.
All right. Bigelow's is offering a special inducement to go along with these diapers.
Diapers.
We have on hand, and also on a few of our feet,
gloves.
Through another lucky purchase, 95 bottles of talcum powder.
Fine.
And if you are among the first 95 to come into Bigelow's and mention this station,
well,
you'll receive a bottle of talcum powder with a purchase of two or more diapers.
And three floor men.
Now, friends.
We're not selling floor men.
We're not.
We certainly aren't. Now, will you quit interrupting me?
I'll go back.
Mr. Bigelow will come in here with a shotgun any minute.
White
now, friends.
Please.
All right.
Will you?
I'll stop. I won't say another word.
All right. Now, friends, due to a slight error on the part of the manufacturer, this talcum powder, the bottles are in reality full of broken pizza plates. Now, Chuck, this could come in handy. Chuck, we cut it out. For the Italian mothers, who also are those of you who want your child to grow up in the peaceful and pleasant surroundings of a pizza palace. So don't forget, for plant diapers and broken pizza plates, come to Bigelow's, and when the salesman comes up to you, simply say...
Well, now, gee, but it's great after staying out late, walking my baby back home. Arm in arm over meadow and farm, walking my baby back home. We go along harmonizing a song, or I'm reciting a poem. The owls go by and they give me the eye, walking my baby back home. We stop for a while, she gives me a smile and cuts her cheek to my chest. We start into pet, and that's when I get for powder all over my vest. Just when I try to straighten the tie, she wants to borrow my coat. One kiss and then we continue again, walking my baby back home. Well, gee, but it's great after staying out late, walking my baby back home. Well, arm in arm over meadow and farm, walking my baby home. Well, we go along, singing a song, I'm reciting a poem. Well, the owls go by and they give me the eye for walking my baby back home. We stop for a while, she gives me a smile and cuddles her cheek to my chest. Well, we start into pet, and that's when I get for powder all over my vest. And just when I try to straighten the tie, she wants to borrow my coat. One kiss and then we do it again, walking my baby back home.
So pretty. I should like to delve into the Slavic mood and do a song that my father wrote for me when he was 9 weeks old. He used to take me on his knee and say, Kolya, my little gypsy. Kolya, that's my knick-knacks in Russian. Kolya, it's time for you to become a man. Time for you to go out in the world and learn the facts of life. So I packed my little Karzink and I went. I wandered over hills and dales, small villages and pretty cities. And then I met my first woman. She was gorgeous, sensationally beautiful. When she walked, was like a little gazelle strolling in the pastures. And when she spoke, her voice was like the voice of angels.
Soft and mellow.
She used to croon this plaintive gypsy melody.
Dina, is there anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there is and you know her, show her to me, oh, Dina. With her Dixie eyes blazing, how I love to sit and gaze in to the ease of Dina Lee. I know that every night, oh, why do I shake with fright? I don't know. Because my Dina, mine, changed her mind about me. Hey, hey, cocked up in the Serta Dina. If she wandered to China, I would hop an ocean leaner. Just to be with that rebit to give it to get it to be to hit me to be to the bus, I say to give it to be to the bit to the bus, I find to give it to come up to get it 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 to
It's time now for that award-winning panel show, What's My Wine? Yes, it's that award-winning panel show, What's My Wine? And now let's meet our award-winning panel of award-winning experts. First, the popular syndicated columnist of the New York Daily and many other papers coast to coast, Miss Dorothy Kilquart.
Thank you. And on my left, that famous and well-known award-winning comedian, Steve Lewis.
Ah, well, thank you, Dorothy. It's a pleasure to be here today, even though. And on my left, it's the busiest girl in television, mistress of ceremonies of a number of radio TV shows. She's here by popular demand, Miss Arlene San Francisco.
Thank you, Steve.
You're so sweet.
Yes, Arlene. Ah, and so award-winning.
And I'm my left, that famous award-winning publisher and wit.
Well, Arlene, you're half right.
That cunning little bundle of intelligentsia, Bennett Bennett.
Well, thank you, Arlene, and it's a cotton-picking pleasure to appear on this award-winning panel show. And on my left, Arlene, is that award-winning panel moderator and brilliant award-winning newscaster, my favorite newscaster, incidentally, John Charles Dillpickle.
Well, thank you, and welcome once again to What's My Wine? I'm sure you all know the rules of the game, but just in case some of you have tuned in for the first time, I'll briefly explain them. We have several contestants from our audience come up on our stage. They meet the panel and then offer the panel a glass of wine. The panel then must guess the brand of wine our contestant has offered them. They may also ask questions if they choose, but this is discouraged because our contestants are as stupid as they come. Now it's time for our first guest, so will you sign in, please, sir? Good evening, Mr. Is that Horsewhip?
Yeah.
And where are you from, sir?
Look, buddy, don't get personal. Let's get on with the game.
Yes. On with the game. But before we begin, how about meeting our panel? Mr. Horsewhip, would you be so kind as to walk over to our panel and meet them?
All right.
Come back. You didn't say may I.
Oh, darn.
Now for a closer look at our guest, and at the same time, we'll tell our audience what kind of wine he brought. And now we'll give our panel one free guess as to what kind of wine Mr. Horsewhip has brought for them to sample. And we'll begin the free guesses, as usual, with Miss Kilquart.
I think Mr. Horsewhip brought us Muscatel.
And your guess, Mr. Lewis?
I'd say Burgundy.
I'm sorry. And you, Miss San Francisco?
I don't know, but it sure duck is funny.
And Mr. Bennett?
Well, according to all my aforehand award-winning knowledge, I'd contend that Mr. Horsewhip has sherry with him. Although, I left my wife at home, you see.
No, I'm afraid none of you has it right, so we'll begin the sipping now with Miss San Francisco.
Oh, really, John, you are a card. Well, let me see. I pass.
All right, Mr. Bennett Bennett, it's your turn.
Of course, you know I'm an award-winning wine taster, and most all of the wine I taste is known to me immediately, so here goes. No, that's very strange.
What's that, Mr. Bennett?
Well, Charles, John Charles, I'm an award-winning wine taster, but I can't seem to put my finger on this brand. If I may have just another glassful, please?
Certainly, Bennett. And in the meantime, we'll move on to Dorothy Kilquart.
Oh, John, this is very easy. It's California Natural Vintage, of course.
No, Miss Kilquart, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. Now we'll move on to Steve.
You know, John, all this wine sipping reminds me of a joke.
Oh, I see, Mr. Lewis. You have a joke for us.
Well, no, but I'm sure it reminds me of a joke.
Steve.
Yes, John?
Sip, Steve.
Yes, John. Oh, John, I'm sure that Mr. Horsewhip has that new brand of wine, Manischewitz on the Rocks.
Yes,
I thought it was, you know. Wrong? Wrong.
Yes, Steve, it's wrong. Well, Steve, that was pretty funny. But I'm afraid you still haven't guessed the brand of wine Mr. Horsewhip brought us this evening. So we'll have to move on once again to Miss Arlene San Francisco. Arlene, have you decided what wine you've been sipping? Yes. Well, let's move on then. Bennett Bennett, have you come to a decision as to the brand of wine you've been sipping?
Yeah. I've decided that this here wine is smooth. Do you hear me? Smooth? And I ain't got no use for no other cotton picking the water with a wine tasters, you hear me? And after this, I want some booze, you see? And that's the good booze. I want some real good booze.
Well, Yes, thank
I
you,
like
Bennett.
This program just about every
been a
week.
Pleasure. I'm sorry,
Boy,
Mr. Horst.
Why is this wine as I go?
Horst, if you would like to come back next week and bring this wine again, I think we'd better. Well, our time is just
like
about up. Somebody play the theme, will you? Stop that record a minute, will you?
Hey, Dan, what's going on?
Well, we were going to make this a real terrific show, and I got
but
a joke.
You don't stop the record, sir.
I just thought of this joke, and I'm liable to forget it if I don't tell it now.
All right, tell
it's
us.
It's a good joke. This is really funny. Uh-huh. You see, there's a lion who's real proud of the fact that he's the king of the jungle, see? And, oh, he's always picking on all the other animals, you know? So one day he's walking through the woods, and he runs into a zebra. So he sneaks up on the zebra, and he gets him in a spot where the zebra can't run away, you know? And he says to the zebra, "Who is the king of the jungle?" And naturally, the zebra is scared. He's afraid the lion will kill him if he doesn't say the right thing. So he says, "You are, O Lord." And the lion's very glad of that, and he lets the zebra go. So he goes on through the jungle a little farther, and he comes upon a giraffe. And he says to the giraffe, "Who is the king of the jungle?" And the giraffe says, "You are, O Lord." And so the lion lets him go. The lion goes through the woods a little farther, and he comes upon three monkeys playing in the bushes. He corners them, and he says, "Who is the king of the jungle?" And the three monkeys are shivering and quaking in their boots, and they say, "You are, O Lord." And the lion lets him go. And he's real proud of himself, and all of a sudden he comes upon an elephant. And he says to the elephant, "Mr. Elephant, who is the king of the jungle?" So the elephant picks him up in his trunk and heaves him around in the air for a few minutes and throws him off in a bush.
Dan.
And the lion picks himself up and... Yeah?
I heard this joke.
Oh.
Got my faith, got my reservation. Spent each dime I could afford. Like a child. Wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard. Seven, that's the time we leave at seven. I'll be waiting up for heaven, counting every mile of paradise that takes back. Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take the sentimental journey. Sentimental journey home. Sentimental.
Say, Chuck, I got another phone call from Hector.
Did you?
Yeah, he's having a little trouble. Seems like he got in a traffic jam or something. He had to park his car and he's walking over here. He's about 12 blocks away from the studio.
Fine, fine. You know, but it's a good thing we're doing an hour show today.
He'll, yeah, that's what I told him. He may be able to make it. I told him to walk fast. He said he'll do his best.
Did he approve of the hour show?
Yes, he said it was a very good idea, especially since it's our last show.
Is he listening to it on his wrist radio?
I think so. I don't know if he's got a good ground or anything, but...
Well, I haven't seen his wrist lately.
Neither have I.
What do you want to do?
Well, we have a guest who's been waiting outside if you want to introduce him.
In the closet?
Yes, he's in the closet there with all the audience.
Oh, I know. Let's see. We've got the guest sheet here. Oh,
he's a comedian or something. You want to introduce him?
I'll just
sit by and watch because I'm tired.
Don't comment, though, huh?
All right, I won't.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it gives a great pleasure to have with us this afternoon the world-famous imitator and comic, Mr. Cosmo Collins. Hello, Cosmo. How are you?
Well, hello there, Chuck. I feel pretty good.
Well, Cosmo, we haven't seen you around in the radio world for some time now. How does it feel to be back?
Just great, Chuck. Just great.
You were over in Europe, weren't you?
Yes, I was, Chuck. I was billed in France and England. As a matter of fact, I played a command performance for Elizabeth.
Is that right? They must have really liked you over there. Well, what did you say to giving us one of your famous routines?
Huh? Well, I'd be glad to, Chuck. Could I have a little music, or should I just do it without music?
Do it without music, because it's an underpaid place.
Well, all right.
Okay.
I'll just say, this is the way I do it when I'm on the stage at the Palladium.
And this is supposed to be with music, though.
It's supposed to be with music, and chorus girls dancing around, but what's the difference? I'm the star.
That's the whole thing. As long as you're here, sure.
I say, I come out and everybody applauds and yells because they all know me. You know, and I say, hello, ladies and gentlemen, how are you all tonight? Feeling full of vim and vinegar? Yes. Well, you know, I see the movie the other night that I'd like to tell you about. Had so many big stars in it that I thought I'd be trampled over. I thought they'd trample all over each other. Yes, like a regular stampede. Yes. Well, the name of it was Midnight in Madrid. And in the first scene, it opened in a little bar somewhere in Alaska where Jimmy Stewart and Gene Autry were standing at the bar ordering yogurt. Say, Gene, it's mighty cold up here in Alaska, ain't it? Yes. It certainly is, Jimmy. Yeah, you know, Gene, you know where I'd like to be right now? No, Jimmy, where? I'd like to be back home eating one of my mother's apple pies. You know, my mother makes the best apple pies in the whole world. Yes, sir, she should have. Where'd you like to be, Gene? Me? I'd like to be back in the saddle again. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, thank you. You know, Jimmy Stewart and Gene Autry weren't the only stars in this film. In the next scene, we see Clark Gable making love to Marjorie Maine in her penthouse apartment. Oh, Marjorie, my Marjorie, how can you treat me this way? You know I'm madly in love with you, and you just ignore me. Oh, Clark, how can you talk that way? How can you say that, Clark? I don't ignore you. I'm not ignoring you now, am I? I don't know. You look pretty ignorant to me. Well, then, ladies and gentlemen, in the last scene, the chorus comes up behind another star as he starts to sing and sings along with him. See if you can guess who this star is. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows.
Well, thank you very much, Cosmo. That was great. That really
I'm
had
glad you liked it, Jack.
Why, yes, sir, that was wonderful. Say, Cosmo, you're very talented, and I like the way you get these voices. Boy.
Well, thank you.
What are your plans for the future? Are you planning to go into pictures, as I've heard some people comment?
Well, not immediately, Chuck. I feel it's my duty to the American public to keep away from any contract that would tie me down for a while. There's still a lot of people who haven't had an opportunity to see me yet, and I'd like to keep moving around the country until they do.
I see. Well, that's really a great sacrifice on your part. I'm sure that everyone will appreciate it and come to see you whenever you make an appearance.
I hope they do. I need the money.
Well, it's been very nice talking to you, Cosmo, and we're all glad you could come.
I'm glad you were able to invite me. So long, Chuck.
Well, so long. That was Cosmo. Lady, he is funny. You know, he is honestly...
Hey, Chuck, that guy was very good, you know? I sat over and I roared.
Well,
it was terrific.
It's hilarious.
Did you hear how he was like Gene Autry?
Boy, funny as all. Did he laugh?
If you see my
my darling, with somebody new. Keep it a secret, whatever you do. Why should you tell me and break my poor heart? Then foolish pride would just drive us apart. If you see my darling in some rendezvous, painting the town with a girl he once knew, paid no attention and just let it be, but keep it a secret from me.
I think so.
All right. Friends, we've done it again. Should I do this in a dynamic voice?
Do it and, well, really put it over. I mean, the guy pays a lot of money
for
this.
Okay, I'll give him my all.
He pays about, what is it,
$2 or $3
a week he pays for this stuff?
A nickel a minute.
A nickel a minute.
Mm-hmm. Shall we?
Well, let's do it in 15 seconds.
No, let's do it real big, all the way out for him, okay?
All right.
Real dynamic, okay?
I'll tell you what, you do it whatever way you happen to feel at the time you're reading. I'll do it whatever way I happen to feel.
All right, sure. Friends, we've done it again. Bigelow's Bargain Basement has made another terrific purchase, which can mean savings for you. Last year, during the Christmas season, our chief buyer, Mr. Bigelow, was wise enough to see the demand for Christmas seals. So he made a smart purchase and bought an overwhelming supply of last year's Christmas seals.
And so, friends, due to Mr. Bigelow's lucky purchase, we can let you in on tremendous savings. Savings for your family, your friends, and yourself.
Without a supply last, we can furnish you with as many of last year's Christmas seals as you desire for a low, low, laughable price of only 2 cents each. That's less than a mark. That's right, 2 cents each. Now, where else can you get such a tremendous bargain? 2 cents, amazing.
Well, now, friend, due to a slight error in manufacture, some of these seals have not been gummed on the back. However, if you should receive a package of seals that are not gummed, send them back to the South Pole. Simply drop Mr. Bigelow line, and we'll happily send you a bottle of Bigelow's Grade A Number 1 Pipsy Doodle Glue.
Now, due to a slight error on the part of the glue manufacturer, some bottles still have particles of horseshoes in them. This we cannot rectify, but we hope that you will bear with us as we horse around a bit.
Now, to get this outstanding offer of last year's Christmas seals, along with a free, yes, I said free, bottle of Bigelow's Grade A Number 1 Pipsy Doodle Glue, simply tear off the top of your car and mail, along with 2 cents and your bicycle, to Bigelow's Gummed Up Works, Box 489632-8, 5 Leopage, Kentucky.
That's sticky peanut butter.
All of me. Why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm no good without you? Take my lips, I want to lose them. Take my arms, I'll never use them. Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. How can I get along without you? You took the part that once was my heart. So why not take all of me? All of me. Come on, get all of me. Can't you see I'm just a mess without you? Take my lips, I want to lose them. Get a piece of these arms, I'll never use them. Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. How can I ever make it without you? You know you got the part. Used to be my heart. So why not?
It's Peter Pooper's Jukebox Party. Yes, it's Peter Pooper's Jukebox Party, the program that determines whether the new record releases are hits or misses. And now here's your genial master of ceremonies, Peter Pooper.
Every party has a pooper, and it might as well be you. Peter Pooper, Peter Pooper.
Well, thank you very much, Arnold. And this is Peter Pooper with another jukebox party. You know, this is the program that determines whether a new record will be a hit or a miss. And today we've got something just a bit different in our program. Our guests are all very well-known personalities. However, none of them are members of the Radio Actors Guild or the Announcers Society for the Preservation of Radio Announcers, so none of them will be able to speak, and therefore we'll do all our voting by secret ballot. We'll play each record and then take a special ballot. I'll then tabulate those ballots, and by doing so, determine whether the record was a hit or a miss. Now, here's the first record panel. Listen and then tell us whether it's going to be a hit or a miss. Well, how about that, panel? Wasn't that a tremendous record? Well, now our announcer, Arnold, has the ballots. Are they all in, Arnold?
Yes, here they are, Peter.
Fine, let me see them.
What will you give me?
That's what I'll give you. Now, thank you, Arnold, and here are the ballots. Here's a hit. Here's another hit. Here's a miss. And another hit. Ladies and gentlemen, our prize-winning panel has determined that the record we played was a hit. And now, panel, it's time to decide on the next record. Listen to it and determine whether it'll be a hit or a miss. Now, Arnold, may we have the ballots?
Here.
All right. Here's a miss. And another miss. Another miss. And the last one is a miss. Well, our panel has decided that last record will be a miss. Well, that's the way it goes, folks. You never know. We'll just have to wait and see if our panel was right. Now, I guess we've got time for one more record on our Peter Pooper Jukebox Party. Will it be a hit or a miss? Here we go with record number 3.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Powell. Ballots in, please.
Here they are, Mr. Pooper.
Thank you, Arnold. Here we go now. That will be a hit or a miss. Here's the first one. A hit. And the second one. A miss. Now the third one. A hit. And the last one, it's a miss. Aha. Now it's going to be up to our studio audience, the real jury of America, to decide whether that last record was a hit or a miss. Audience, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Fine. Now applaud if you think this is going to be a hit or a miss. Well, that means it's going to be a miss.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
What do you mean it doesn't? We asked you if it was going to be a hit, and you didn't applaud. When we asked if you said it was going to be a miss, you applauded three times.
You're crazy. I was swatting a fly.
Peabody show yet, and still, but Hector hasn't come in yet.
Oh, he'll make it. I'm sure he will. He said he was on his way. He's...
Well, what should we do now, Dan? We've
got a record, if you'll let me introduce it. It's Arturo Toscanini and the
NBC
Symphony.
Wait a minute. What kind of records are you playing on here? We don't play symphony things.
Oh, but Chuck, we'd like to, Dan. We should play to a large audience. You know,
You shouldn't play to just one type of people. You should play to everyone so that everyone...
No, I don't want to play any classical things on here. I like...
Well,
like
listen,
music.
I let you have your way all the time, and I got this record all picked out, and Joe's got it all queued up and ready to play, and we're going to play it. So, Joe,
I'll sue if you sue.
Arturo Toscanini and the NBC boy. Symphony Orchestra with the overture
him.
To I'll William Tell by Rossini.
Boy.
Avenge my father. I have killed the enemy of the jungle. I have killed Shere Khan.
What, Chunchuk? Well, that was much too fast. I didn't understand one word you said. Santa Claus reindeer.
And there they pull. Imagine the triumphant procession. To be. That is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind.
Jim swam down to the bottom and then he gasped for air.
Just tell him what the hey there, say there, how's about a kiss? Hey now, say now, what comes after this?
I guess it's time for us to wind up the current series of Hector Q. Peabody programs for this station. Hector Q. Peabody never showed up, and this is Chuck Shade. Now, Dan McGuire, my partner, hasn't even returned himself. He was called out for something during that last bit of garbage, and we don't know what happened, but I hope he does come back. And as much as our time is running out, I'd better give the credits. Joe Abrascato was our very talented and capable engineer on our series of programs. The scripts were by Mayhem, choreography by Kleptomania, the William Tell Overture by Hysteria. Sound on our program was by Marconi, and this has been a CLS production. Now, Dan.
Chuck, here he is.
What's
I
the trouble?
Hector.
Hector? Where
he
is he?
Yeah, he just walked in the door.
Oh, my gosh.
But he's exhausted from walking all the way over here. He's out of breath.
Well, here, let him sit down and get his breath back.
Right,
we're almost off the air
down,
now. Hector, we're so glad you could finally make it. Come on, sit down. Hector! Dan, he fainted.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Quick, start rubbing his wrist. I've got a bottle of brandy in the filing cabinet. That ought to revive
it's
him.
It's half empty, but go get it. All right, hurry. Joe's waving at us in there. The engineer.
All right, I'm
we've
hurrying.
Got much
I can't
time.
Seem to find that brandy, though.
Oh, what are we going to do? The time is
running
out. He's looking. He says we got 10 seconds.
Chuck, you didn't finish it, did you? Here.
I look.
Maybe the other drop. Oh, here it is. Come on, make him sit up and open his mouth. I'll pour it down his throat.
There, that ought to help.
Yeah, it looks like he's coming around.
Hurry up, give him some more brandy, quick.
Okay, here, Hector. Come on, Hector, open your mouth. Drink it, boy. That's a boy. You'll be all right. Come on, have another sip.
Here, I think he's coming out of it. Hector, listen, can you hear me? Hector, we're going off the air now. This is your last chance to say something. Let your audience hear you. Come on, say something, Hector. Hey!